So the lesson that Sister Shilu will give us is the first lesson of the BKs, of Who Am I? So if I could invite Sister Shilu to come and join you all. Shilu Ben, she never ages. I've been coming here for a long time and she doesn't look that much different to when we first met her. But Shilu Ben has been in the BK knowledge for nearly 60 years. She came when she was 12 years old and her mummy brought her from Bombay. And she's really the face and the voice of the Brahma Kumaris for all the BKs outside India. And she also appears on our own Peace of Mind BK television channel. So many, many souls know her voice. We know her face. And she's one of our most experienced teachers. She's the director of what's called the Raj Yoga Camps, which is by invitation, all the centres all over India invite people to come here for residential training, not unlike your experience, except ours is a bit longer. And Shilu Ben has been invited to more than 70 countries over the years to share her experience of teacher training and to experience especially meditation. She's an excellent teacher of meditation. And she's also the vice chair of our education wing, which is a huge part of what the Brahma Kumaris do. And mostly she's our dear sister, our very good friend, and she's been very, very helpful to cross the bridge from west to east over the years. So here is Sister Shilu. And at 12 o'clock, we're going to do our first traffic control. Usually we stop for music, but this time Sister Shilu is going to give us a practical experience of Om Shanti through her meditation commentary. So, Sister Shilu, thank you.
Om Shanti. Yes, I would like all of you to repeat after me. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Greetings of peace to all of you. A very warm welcome to this beautiful Gyan Sarovar complex. On my behalf as well, I am definitely very, very delighted to see here guests from over 40 countries who have come here to experience true peace of mind. The very name of this retreat, Peace of Mind Retreat, indicates that how much all of us love peace. And here we come to know that peace is not something to be got from outside. Peace is not available in any departmental store. Peace cannot be bought by paying some money. But peace is the original nature of the self. And this is my first topic, experiencing one's original nature, the soul's original experience. when someone is asked his introduction, he first of all says very briefly his name, "I am Mr. So and so." But then that name, you know, can be changed. People change their names. So it is not something which is original, which is permanent. And then he may mention his occupation, but then even people change their occupations. So even that is not our true introduction. Someone may introduce himself by his religion, but then he can change that too. So even that is not an original introduction. And we can go on and on. People keep changing their name, their occupation, their address, their religion, their country, and what not. But what is it that is always permanent, that never changes, come what may? And that is peace. And who is the one who experiences peace? You may say, I experience peace. But then who is I? We are changing our introduction so often. So where is the originality of I? Yes, you may say, my originality of I is, I am a human being. Well, because we won't change into animals, we are human beings. But even if you say, I am a human being, that also has two words, human and being. So I cannot be two, I have to be only one. Human comes from the word humus. Humus means soil. Soil. The elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. All these five elements which make up the body, that is called human, humus. But then even this humus is changing. A child is born, it is a small child, it grows, we become young, we become middle-aged, we become old. So again, this introduction is changing. I'm not the same what I was 20 years ago. Maybe I didn't have grey hair. Today I have grey hair. Maybe I was very strong physically. Today I am not that strong. I have this problem, that problem, which I didn't have 20 years ago. So again, even that is changing. But what is eternal? What is unchanging? It is the other part, the being part. The being part is unchanging. The human part, the physical part, is always changing. In this world, everything is changing. Everything, every moment, a change is happening. And we do say that in this world, everything changes except change. This very word change, that doesn't change. You get me? The word change doesn't change, and everything else changes. This change is constant. So this humus, the human part, the physical part, is also always changing. But the being part, this is never changing. It is eternal. It is immortal. It is imperishable. It is indivisible. And it is invisible. Something which is physical is always changing. So what is this being part? Which is the real me? And I, that being part, existed even before this body was born. And it will continue to exist even after the body perishes. That is the true me. So whenever people introduce themselves, we can say that that introduction is really not the truth. Because truth is unchanging. That which is truth is always the same. When somebody has to hide one truth, for example, and in order to hide that truth, he tells a lie. And in order to prove that lie, he has to tell so many lies. Somebody stole something. And he was caught. And he's asked, did you steal? And he says, no. Okay, what were you doing at that time? Where were you? He will give many, many different answers. But ultimately, they say that lies have no ground. And you have to remember that lie, the first lie you told, in order to prove that lie was the truth. You have to remember it, because you have told so many lies. But if you are speaking the truth, you don't have to remember it at all, because it is always there, it is not changing. So who am I? This question has been coming down since ages. The greatest of philosophers have asked this question, who am I? And still we can say this question has not been answered fully. Why? Because that I, the true I, which is not visible, that is what I am. And that is what we call as the soul. I am not the hardware, but I am the software. In a computer, we have the hardware as well as the software. So the hard part of this human life is what we wear, what we eat, what we do. What we do, what we eat, what we wear, it's not that what we are. Because we do so many things from morning till night. We wear different costumes, different clothes. We eat. Yes, all that makes the body. But somebody who may be very fat, but still he can be so light. I've seen fat people dancing like anything. They don't feel anything. They are dancing, although they are so fat. That means physically they may be fat, but internally they are very light. Only then you can dance, no, if you are light. If you are heavy, you can't dance. And I've also seen very thin people. And if you tell them to dance, no. Because internally they are very heavy. So somebody can be heavy physically, but truly he's very light. And somebody can be very light physically, but truly he's very heavy. So what is that? This proves that it's not the physical part which is the real me. And also when someone dies, the physical body is laid to rest. It's already resting. It's already in peace. And still we pray to God, "Oh God, may his soul rest in peace." Don't we? The body is already laid to rest. But the soul needs the real rest. And therefore we say, "Oh God, may his soul rest in peace." Because if in our lifetime we have not experienced the real peace, then it's a bitter truth that even if the body is laid to rest, it is in peace, the soul is not in peace. So this is what I am. That soul, that eternal entity. And the most beautiful part of this eternal entity is that peace is not outside me. Just like you see in nature, each element of nature has its own nature. That's why it's called nature. It has its own nature. For example, fire. The nature of fire is heat and light. If there is fire but no light, no heat, looks like fire, but no light, no heat, then even though it may look like fire, it is not fire. So fire means its original nature is heat and light. The original nature of water is coolness. However hot it may be, but you'll find the water which comes from your tap is cool. You may heat up the water, so give fire from outside, but then leave it aside, remove the fire, leave it aside, the water will go back to its original nature, it will become cool. So that's its original nature. Everything tends to reach its original nature. We can give some interesting example. You light a matchstick. The fire, the flame goes upwards. It goes to the source. Everything then goes to the source. First it is its own nature, and then it will go to the source. The flame goes upwards because the source is the sun. You drop water, the water will always flow down because its source is the ocean, the sea. It will go back to the sea. The rivers go back to the sea. So we say two things. One thing is that everything tends to go back to its original nature, and everything returns to its original source. Now, if we understand these two things well, we can also understand the self. That what I'm looking for outside in material things, or in anything physical, it's not what I really need. Because we are seeing in the world today, even the physical needs are not many, but wants are many, unlimited wants. Needs are not many. Even for the physical body, we don't need many things to sustain the body. But wants, desires can be unlimited. Again, it is contradicting our true nature. Because we go against that true nature. And in order to get those wants, we even lose what we already have. At the cost of our peace, we go for many things. At the cost of our values, we go for many things. And ultimately, we come to the conclusion that that was not what I was really looking for. Because then we can get frustrated also. And then we go inwards. And therefore we say, what really are your needs? I may have lots of food to eat, but how much can I eat? I have many clothes to wear, but how much can I wear? I have many houses, but how many houses can I live? I may have many beds, but I need only one bed. And therefore again we can say that all that what our desires are leading to ultimately can even frustrate us. And therefore we have to go back to the original. We say that when we came in this world, we brought nothing. A child is born, it doesn't bring anything physical. And when a person dies, he doesn't take anything of this world with him. And if we brought nothing, we take nothing, then why all this hassle? Actually, it's not that we did not bring anything, we did not take anything. Because my present is dependent on my past. And my present will decide my future. And therefore my present is also very important, but my past and future also important. And therefore we say when a child is born, it's not that he brings nothing. We say he brings his karma. Karma. And when the person dies, he takes his destiny. His fate. Something very interesting to understand. That what he had sowed now, that he will reap. If I sow peace, I will reap peace. If I sow sorrow, I will reap sorrow. And if I am reaping sorrow, it means I have sowed sorrow. So now this sorrow and happiness, all these are experiences of the true self, which are not part of the body. And therefore when we say peace, we don't have to look for it outside. We look for it inside. So you are not what you eat or wear or do, but you are what you think, what you feel, what you visualize, what you experience. That's the soft part. That's what you are. How are your feelings like? How are your thoughts like? How is your experience like? Because that's what you really carry with you. And if we go into the depth of this, what type of experience we would all like to have? What type of feelings we would all like to have? What type of thoughts we would all like to create? definitely not thoughts of sorrow or suffering or peacelessness or unhappiness, no. So that's truly not me. I am that which I am always looking forward to. I'm always looking forward to peace, happiness, love, bliss, mercy, compassion, all these beautiful values. But if I'm not experiencing those values, it means I'm really not aware of my true self. Because if I am wanting these values, it means I'm really those values myself. For example, the body. What are the needs of the body? Actually, the limited needs could be food, water, clothing, shelter. These are the limited needs. Food, water, clothing, shelter. Well, all these things come from outside. I'm hungry, I'll say, I'm hungry, give me food. I'm thirsty, give me water. So you take water, you take food and drink and eat. You feel cold, okay, put on some more woolens. You need a shelter, then you go under something. So all physical. But then when you say, I want peace, I want love, I want happiness, I want bliss, I want mercy. Now, this can't come from outside. This has to be experienced from inside. And this is why the saying goes, you are what you think. And what you think, that you become. Our thoughts, the food we give to our mind, that's our real food of thoughts. And that's what we become. So if you think I am a peaceful soul, then no one in the world can make you peaceless. No one. It's a challenge. And that's why I made you say 3 times, Om Shanti, 3 times. Om Shanti is a very, very special word. Om, it is made up of 3 alphabets. You must have seen this in many places. It is, that's A, and this is U, and that is Ma. A, U, Ma. A, U, Ma. In English we can write as A, U, M. And A, U, M, A, U, Ma, that is me. That is me. So what is that which is me? Then Shanti. Shanti means peace. La Paz. Peace. I am peace. So what is that which is me? It is peace. And if I am aware that I am a peaceful soul, however much someone may try to give me sorrow, may abuse me, you know, torture me, whatever. But I will never lose my true identity. I will never lose my true nature because I know who I am. So whatever they are doing, they may be doing to the body, but not to me because I am something different from this physical body. But if I don't have that awareness that I am a peaceful soul, immediately I become peaceless. Somebody abuses me, I become peaceless. I feel insulted. And if I'm peaceless, and then somebody tells me, don't worry, well, that was his thinking, don't worry. No, why did he tell me this? What does he think of himself? How dare he tell me that? Doesn't he know who I am? Now here my ego is working. And if I have that ego, that will never allow me to become peaceless. And therefore I say, I am peaceless. I'm very unhappy. And if I say I am peaceless, then no one in the world can make me peaceful. No one in the world can make me peaceful. Unless I myself make myself understand that I am a peaceful soul. And not just I am a peaceful soul, I am a loveful soul, I am a blissful soul. Because that's what we all want, no? If somebody cries out, nobody is loving me, nobody is loving me, nobody gives me any love, this also is ignorance. Don't beg for love. I am a loveful soul. Don't ask for love, but give love. You already have it in you. You don't have to ask for it. You can say to somebody, oh, you don't love me. He'll say, of course I love you. You may hug me, kiss me. But is that true love? Well, hugging and kissing is love. Internally he may be thinking, I want her to die. And externally he's hugging me and kissing me. So that's not true love. True love is based on values. And where there is true love, only the values, only the virtues are seen. And where virtues are seen, there is true love. So they go together. And therefore we say, don't ask for these qualities. They are there within you. Just give. Instead of asking, if you give, how will you give? Through your thoughts, through your words, through your actions, of course. And when we are sharing that love with all, automatically the love comes back. The beauty of all these virtues is, the more you share, the more you experience. The more you share peace, the more peaceful you will become. And how do you share peace? Any of these values. You share them through your thoughts, words and actions. But first comes the thoughts. If it is only in words and actions, they don't last long, you know. If my words are different, my actions are different, but my thoughts are different, then ultimately I can be caught. I can be deceived, because ultimately whatever is in my thoughts will come in my words and actions. So the seed is again our thoughts. And therefore there's a very beautiful saying, watch your thoughts. Watch your thoughts. Because they will become words one day. And if you don't want to say those words, don't even think about them. So watch your thoughts, for they will become words. And watch your words, for they will become actions one day. Don't think that somebody is saying something but he'll never do it. He may do it, he will. So watch your thoughts, and then watch your words, watch your actions. And watch your actions, why? Because they are becoming your habits. And habits die hard, they say. It's difficult to change them because they have been, you know, happening continuously. And watch your habits, for that will form your character. And watch your character, for that will form your destiny. So thoughts lead to our destiny. And therefore they say, think before you think what you are going to think. Does it make sense? Think, before you think what you are going to think, what you're about to think, think, should I think in this way? And therefore, true meditation teaches us to create the right thoughts by having the awareness of the self, that I am a peaceful being, a peaceful soul. That's my original nature. And this is what we are always aspiring to attain. But the irony of all it is that what is already in me, I'm looking for it outside. And therefore, I will never find it. It's just like you have your keys in your pocket, and you're looking around for your keys in the whole house, your cupboards, everywhere. Where are my keys? Where are my keys? And after a long, long search, you just put your hand in your pocket and lo and behold, the keys are right there. And you were searching for them everywhere. And therefore it is very beautifully said, go within. Look within and you will find within. That is peace, love, happiness, bliss. We talk about 7 core values. 7 core values, just as we talk about, 7 tones of music. We talk about 7 days of a week. All this comes in 7. 7 colors. They are the original colors. Therefore, we have the rainbow, vibhyor, violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red. They are the 7 core colors. And on the basis of those 7 colors, all the beautiful colors we can create. On the basis of the 7 music tones, we can create such wonderful music. And they say life is only of 7 days. 8th day never comes. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's all. No other day. And life is of 7 days. No 8th day will come. But in those 7 days comes the whole life. And therefore we speak about 7 core values. And if you are able to experience those 7 core values in life, you have made your life valuable. And what are those 7 core values? First is knowledge. Knowledge. We all aspire for knowledge. And they say that knowledge does not come from outside. It comes from inside. Every soul is a truthful entity. A child is born. A child never speaks lies. Always speaks the truth. Parents can teach a child to speak lies, but a child will never speak lies on its own. It will always speak the truth. So, similarly we say knowledge comes from inside. What comes from outside is information. Information. But knowledge comes from inside. What to do, what not to do. Your inner voice. Your inner soul is always guiding you towards the right actions, the right words, the right thoughts. Because if that inner voice would not have been guiding you, you wouldn't have felt the guilt afterwards. Very often we do something, we say something, we feel so guilty within. Why did I do it? Why did I say this? That guilt comes because actually, I'm not that, what I showed, what I revealed. And therefore we say that knowledge comes from inside. Your inner voice is always speaking the truth, is always guiding you. And therefore every soul in its original nature is very pure, very pure. And therefore, whenever impure thoughts come in the mind, again you feel very guilty. Oh, why am I thinking like that? I should not be thinking. Because I'm truly in my original nature, very pure. You know, we wear white clothes. Everything's so white. But if there's a small stain, I feel so bad. Oh, why this small stain? And everyone will point out, oh, there's a stain on your dress, or there's a stain on your dress. However, 99% is all white, but just 1% stain, but that 1% will be visible. And people will point out to that. Why can't they point out to the 99% are white? No, but that 1%. Why 1%? It's not because of the negative thinking in people. We often blame the negative thinking in people. Why do they see the negativity? Why can't they see the positivity in me? But why should that negativity remain if I'm all positive? So this is what I am, the true me, the soul, an embodiment of peace. And therefore, let us experience our original stage, our original nature. Sit upright. Ask yourself, who am I? Who am I? What am I? The answer will come from within. I am a spiritual being. I am a soul. I am a point of divine light and might. I am the master of my senses. This physical body is only a costume. Which I have put on to play different roles on this world drama stage. My true nature is peace. Peace is the power within me. Peace is my true religion. peace. Is the true light within me. I am a peaceful soul. I came into this world to share peace with all. Through my thoughts, words and actions, my purpose of life is to share peace with all. I was, I am, and will always be peaceful soul. That's my origin, and that's my destination. I am light, double light. An enlightened soul. A point of divine light. And I am light. I'm not heavy. I'm very light. In a second, I can withdraw from the pull of physical surroundings, from the pull of physical attractions, and just be seated in my true self. I am a peaceful soul. Peace is my nature. I go deep into the experience of peace. My mind is silent. I absorb myself in the ocean of peace. Like a drop merging in an ocean. How peaceful I am. If any other thoughts come in the mind, just go back to your original thoughts. I am a peaceful soul. This physical world is a field of action. But I am beyond this physical pull. A pure soul, like a flawless diamond. Radiating vibrations of peace all around. And creating an atmosphere of peace around me. I have now realized who I am and why am I here. And my true purpose of life become aware of myself, having realized my true nature, having realized my purpose of coming into this world, I now begin to go beyond this limits of the physical body, because first it is the inward journey where I become aware of myself as an entity separate from the body. But then it's an upward journey too. You give a very beautiful example of a tortoise. A tortoise knows how to curtail its limbs. It just withdraws from the external world. It takes in its limbs, its hands and legs and head and everything inside that hard shell. In this way it protects itself. So when we learn meditation, the first thing we learn is that whenever there is any situation which is very stressful, very peaceless, I just withdraw. It's a beautiful art of withdrawing from the external pulls and becoming a peaceful soul. And when I'm aware of myself as a peaceful soul, the external surroundings do not disturb me, do not distract me, do not give any problem to me, because I've withdrawn. And then the second step is an upward journey. What is that upward journey? Just like a bird. You must have seen birds. You know, they sit on branches, on twigs, and they are swinging and swinging and swinging. Unafraid of what if the twig breaks, that branch breaks. They don't care. Why they don't care? They are swinging, swinging. And that twig is very delicate, you know, it's very thin. But they are swinging on it. But they are not afraid. Why are they not afraid? Because they have wings. Supposing the twig breaks, what will happen? They won't fall. Will they fall? Will they fall? We humans, if we catch a stem and start, swinging, and if that stem breaks, we'll fall. But a bird is not afraid. Why? Because it has faith in its wings. And if it breaks, it just flies. And therefore we say, soul is compared to a bird. In Hindi we say Atam Panchi. Soul is like a bird, very light. In a second, with my mind and intellect, I can go beyond this physical surroundings, physical world, physical sound, physical attractions, and be in a different domain, a different dimension. And that's my eternal home, the world of souls, the soul world. We all say that we came from God and we have to go back to God. So when we came from God, we have to go back to God. That means this world does not belong to us. Our real home is the home of God. And that's where we all have to go back to. And therefore the soul, when it's aware of its true nature, is also aware of its true home. That my true home, the eternal home, is the world of silence, is the world of peace. That's why we all love peace. Why do we all love peace? Why don't we love peacelessness or, unhappiness and all that? Why do we love peace? Because not only peace is our true nature, but peace is also our true home. You know, when somebody is fed up of this world, he doesn't want to live. He doesn't want to live anymore. Then what is his thought? Oh God, please call me back. I don't want to live in this world. Call me back. Why do they plead to God to call them back? Because the soul becomes like homesick. You know, when you are traveling, and maybe you have traveled a great deal, many, many months, and you can get so exhausted in that traveling, you are looking forward to reach home as quickly as possible. Because that's your comfort zone at home. And very often I've seen that people travel for 1 month and after 15 days they start counting down. 14 days, 13 days, 12 days, 11 days, 10 days, 9 days, And when it's only 1 day, and they are catching the flight to return home, and they are so relieved, I'm going back home. It's a relief when you're back in your country after having traveled all over. Similarly, we say this world is like a guest house. And we're all guests in this world. We're all actors in this world. The stage is not the home of an actor. The home is somewhere else. A guest house is only meant for a guest to stay there for a few days and then he has to leave that guest house. He can't be living there long because that's not his home. And home sweet home, we say. So every soul has a home. We all are residents of the supreme abode and that's the world of silence. And therefore when we come in this world, we get too exhausted sometimes, having come into action again and again and again and again. It's like complete exhaustion and we want to be in peace. And we pray to God, oh God, please call me back. I don't want to live in this world. Because we become homesick, you know, that home is remembered. And then we say, well, don't become homesick and then be frustrated of this world. Just take your mind there. While sitting here with your mind, in a second you can travel to England, to America, to Sweden, to Denmark, to Holland, from whichever country you have come. How long will it take you to reach your home through your mind? How long? How long? Fraction of a second. So it's a fraction of a second you can travel to your eternal home, the soul world, the world of infinite golden red light. And just be there in that beautiful feeling of eternal golden red light, my true eternal abode. The abode where I am with God, with that Supreme Father, with that Supreme Soul, the Supreme Being. And it's a beautiful experience which you will get tomorrow also. Like a child in the lap of the mother and father. It's a feeling of great comfort. And that is the feeling we can get through meditation. So the first step is an inward journey. And the second step is the upward journey. You just go beyond. So if anything is happening which is like, you know, a problem, an obstacle, don't hold on to it. We have seen, we sit in a plane, in a flight, and we see all the big, big buildings around. And they look so big. We even see rocks, mountains. They look so big. But as the flight goes upwards, we are able to cross all those so easily. And then from the flight, if we look downwards, we see everything which was looking so big when we were down and now seems so small, so small, so small. What makes it so small? It's not that those things have become small. They are like that only. But what makes them be felt small? Because we have risen. We have risen. So just as there is a, this is called, you know, physical flight. Similarly, mental flight. Rise above them. And how do we rise? Let go. Let go. Let go. Don't hold on to anything. Because nothing is mine. Let go. If a bird is clinging on to a twig, to a stem, is clinging it so hard, and it's watching other birds flying. But the bird forgets that it has wings too. It's holding on to it and it's saying, how I wish I was free, how I wish I was free. But who told you to hang on to that twig? Let go. Leave your claws. You have the wings. Fly in a second. So too, mentally we can do that. It takes only 1 second. And that's a very beautiful exercise, a mental exercise. Going beyond, and with my mind's eye, I visualize a beautiful dimension of golden red light. That's my eternal home, beyond the five elements. Because we talk about the physical constellations and this cosmos, but there's something beyond that too. Something beyond the five elements. And that's the sixth element of infinite golden red light, where many yogis, they get visions of that world of silence. And we can reach that world in a second, through our mind. We become great visionaries, just like people who are great visionaries, they're able to see the future. So too, we can go beyond the limits of this world and be in that space which is outside the physical world, where we are totally free. Totally free. No bondages. Because nothing of this world is mine. So we say, let go. Don't hold on to anything. Because if you hold on to anything, it will give you sorrow ultimately. Because everything in this world is perishable. If you hold on to it, ultimately it will lead you to sorrow. And through meditation, when we are able to go beyond, we are able to let go, and then not only let go, but let God. Give your problems to God to solve. He can be your great helper. Don't hold on to them. Don't say they are my problems. Hand over and become light. And this is what we learn through meditation. And maybe that will come in your further lessons. How not to hold on, how to let go, how to let God. But first, the first step, how to go within. And if you have learned that first step, the other steps become very easy. Okay? Thank you very much. Thank you. So, brother is saying that just should tell that experience of just going beyond. Well, if we can go the first step, like a small child, a child has to take the first step and only then it will learn to walk, no? If you tell your child, come on, put your foot forward. Because even if the mother tries to put the child's foot forward and is afraid, it will never learn to walk. So if the child wants to learn to walk, what does it have to do? It has to be very brave enough to take the first step forward. And when the first step is taken forward, the step behind comes automatically, you know? It automatically comes forward. So as we learn to go within, we take the first step. I'm a soul seated here. Between the two eyebrows, master of my senses, pure, peaceful, and now I can go beyond. Just as these clothes are detachable from the body, so too this physical body is like a costume, detachable from me, because I am only light. And as light, I can move upwards. I can't fly physically upwards like that, but as a light, I can fly upwards beyond this physical cosmos. And I become very light. I let go because I know nothing is mine. This physical body is not mine too. Physical belongings are not mine. I got them here and I will leave them here. And so I create such thoughts. I am a soul beyond this physical body, beyond the five elements, beyond the light of the sun, moon and the stars, beyond sound. And I travel into the world of silence. And with my mind's eye, I visualize that world where everything is in its absolute form. Nothing but light. I am light. And I see only light. I am in a world of silence. There's only silence, silence around me. Complete freedom. In the company of my true Supreme Father, the ocean of peace, I now attain my complete state of my original nature, my true experience, original experience. How was it? Okay. Those who think that yes, I could experience my true self, raise your hand. Good. But even if some did not, doesn't matter. It's not a failure. It is the first step towards success. And all my good wishes to you. Om Shanti.